So this morning is Transfiguration Sunday, and we are going to be hearing the account of the Transfiguration according to the Gospel of Matthew. This is chapter 17, beginning in the first verse. Now, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain all by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became a dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Now while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and they were overcome with fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one there except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, when I was a kid, I loved getting to go to camp. I went to camp for at least a week every summer, starting in fifth grade. And by the time I was a high schooler and it was an option for me, I was volunteering for work crew up at camp as many weeks as I possibly could, simply because I loved to be at camp. And I loved camp, I think, for all the reasons that any of you who have ever been to camp yourselves probably also love camp. I loved the crafts and the games and the campfire stories. I loved going swimming at midnight, which was totally against the rules. And I loved mud war, and I loved old friends and new friends, and I loved meaningful conversations. And I actually even really liked the food at my camp. We had a really, really excellent cook there. And it wasn't just camp. I also really loved, in the same way, the weeks that I would spend with my high school youth group going on service trips. My church in Spokane, every spring break, would take all of our high schoolers down to Tijuana, where we had a relationship and still have a relationship there with an orphanage, and we would build houses. And the church has been doing that for 60 plus years at this point, which is pretty fun. And then during the summer, we would take another group of high schoolers out to Westport, Washington on the coast, where we had a relationship with this lovely little Presbyterian church out there, and we threw the biggest, craziest VBS you have ever seen. And again, I like went and checked their website this week. They're still doing it, and that one has been going for over 70 years. Like, that's awesome. And I loved these weeks when I was growing up. And even as an adult, I get the same sort of warm, fuzzy feelings getting to take our high schoolers down for the Sierra Service Project trip. There is something about spending a concerted amount of time connected and intentional in your work with other people in service to a shared set of values, whether that's actually work that you are doing in the community or whether that's around the theme of camp for the week, whatever that happens to be. These are some of my absolute favorite memories, and I'm guessing that probably feels familiar to any of you who have been on a similar sort of week away. And this isn't surprising. There's actually a ton of research into why these weeks can be so formative, especially for youth. In youth ministry land, we like to call these mountaintop experiences. But mountaintop experiences seems a little bit childish, so if we're talking about adult groups, fancier theologians will call them thin places, as if to imply that the barrier between the human and the divine gets very thin, or the air on top of the mountain is very thin. These are times when we feel incredibly connected to God and to one another through the work that we are doing. And the reason these tend to work out that way is for a number of reasons. First of all, we tend to be doing something crazy, like sleeping on a hard gym floor together for a week. And typically you're sharing in some sort of meaningful work or meaningful conversation around a shared topic. And then on top of it, These weeks are often set apart so that you don't have to think about the regular goings-on of your life. Sort of other things are set aside so that you can focus on the work that you're doing. Now, this is not exclusive to religious folks, although certainly Christians and Jewish folks sort of have like the summer camp cornered in terms of the market in some places of the country. But this sort of similar feeling of being close to other people and close to our values might be something that you've experienced if you've worked with like Habitat for Humanity, or if you've gone and done a week of service dealing with earthquake relief, or maybe cleaning up after a hurricane, or maybe just even serving in your own local community with coworkers or some other local service group that you are a part of. These mountaintop or thin place experiences are those moments that we look back to and we say in our mind, like, oh, remember that time? It was so great. I wish I could have made it last even longer. I wish I could go back to how I felt in that moment. And in a sense, like the Transfiguration is sort of literally the Bible's mountaintop experience. Traditionally, we say that this story happened on Mount Tabor, not the Portland Mount Tabor, but the, you know, Near Eastern Mount Tabor. And what happens is that Jesus and a couple of his disciples go up, and his disciples all of a sudden see that Jesus has been changed. He's been transfigured in front of them. And not just Jesus, but suddenly Moses and Elijah show up with him as well. And they are all for a moment in God's presence. And there's this feeling of contentment and that things are right. And also it's very overwhelming for the disciples to be in that incredibly thin place, experiencing the divinity of Jesus. And then Peter goes and he does what actually most of us try to do when we have these experiences as well. He tries to make it stick. Peter turns around and he says, okay, Jesus, let me build you a house. And I'll build one for Moses and I'll build one for Elijah. And then we can just stay up on this mountain. And isn't this so great? I used to like try to configure ways in my own head that I could do this with camp or with service trips when I was younger. I knew I couldn't actually like stretch out the time, but I was looking for ways of stretching out that meaningful experience of staying connected in that way just a little bit longer. I wanted to hold on. I didn't want to let it go. And I know this is something that I did, and I know that this is something that Peter was doing in Scripture, and probably many of you have felt the same way, because what we're really saying is that we like who we are in those weeks of service or in those moments where we're very connected to God and to one another, when we feel we are acting most in line with what matters to us, our values of service and love and connection and community. Those moments when we stay up too late having good conversations, or, you know, we're enjoying food that normally would taste terrible to us, but we're eating it with people whom we love, so it's great at that moment. I think Peter probably felt that sort of glow up on Mount Tabor, basking in the light of his, like, literal Bible heroes in that moment, and he just wanted to make it last, to be close to God and close to the people who were with him. But of course, the Transfiguration comes to an end, as does every week of camp, no matter how hard I tried to make it last. And there's something very pragmatic about that, of course. It takes a ton of energy and money and volunteer time to put on a week of camp or a service project. And now that I am an adult on the adult half of those equations, I am keenly aware of how much work and energy and time and sleeping on horrible hard floors it takes to put on a week of service like that. And there's a lot that we leave behind that, quite frankly, we can't just drop. Like, usually my kids aren't with me when I go to Sierra Service Project, right? I take care of your kids, not my kids, that week. But I can't just leave my kids behind. Like, John's taking care of them for the week that I'm gone. It's impractical to consider that these things could just stretch on forever and ever. And as adults, it's very questionable to ask ourselves to sleep on a gym floor any longer than 6 nights in a row. I wouldn't recommend it. So even if we want to stretch out that time, it's impractical. And even if we could, honestly, those people that we feel very close to, our new friends that we're making and the good conversations that we're having, within a few weeks, all of their weird little quirks would start to annoy us and become difficult. In the same way, all the little weird quirks of our friends and beloved family members here at home start to annoy us because we live with it day in and day out. It wouldn't last, even if we were still in the same place. And if Jesus and Peter and all the rest of them actually did just continue hanging out up on Mount Tabor for the rest of time, we wouldn't be here today. There would be no Christianity to speak of. The story would have ended. Jesus knows that this moment is beautiful and it really matters, but it can't last because we have to go on living. But when we go on living, there is no rule in the universe that says that the regular world that we all inhabit has to continue working in the regular way that it did before we had that wonderful experience. The Transfiguration isn't some nice story of Jesus and his pals having a fun little tea party and then everyone goes down off the mountain and continues their lives. The point of the Transfiguration is right there in the name of this story, right? It is supposed to transfigure. It is supposed to change something. It's a mountaintop experience. It can't last, but it should change something about the way you come down from that mountain and continue on living. We're supposed to actually feel like ourselves in those moments, free to live into the way God has created us to be. Free to live into our core set of values, free to actually accept that other people might like us when we are a little bit more fun than we are in the working world, free to believe that other people might love us when we are being our camp selves or our, you know, service project selves or whoever that might be, free to believe that God might envision the world could be a little bit different. Now, change doesn't just happen passively. It's not that you go and have a great mountaintop experience and suddenly everything's fine. I remember when we would go and build houses in Mexico, my youth director, who had been doing this for many, many decades at that point, Riley commented to me after one trip that he would never tire of taking, you know, 150 high school students down to this incredibly poor corner of Tijuana and hear all of us talk a really big game about how we had been changed by the poverty we had seen in that place, only to fly us all home and look on social media or wherever and see that all of us had gotten together with our other friends over $75 worth of pizza that we had ordered into our house to share with our friends how poverty had really, really changed us, with absolutely no irony for how much money we had spent on the actual pizza and how much more money that was than any of the people we had just built homes for the week before. My youth director sort of had this wry eye on the truth of these sort of stories, that change is hard and it doesn't happen passively, and you can't hold on to those thin place experiences. When you come down, you have to actually commit to the work of being changed. Peter saw Jesus in all his special sparkly Jesus glory up there on the mountain. And what does he do when he comes home, just like a few days after this story? He denies he ever knew Jesus at all when Jesus is being tried and crucified, right? Like, this is not a huge change of heart for Peter in that moment. But then, a few days after that, when Peter and Jesus are sitting on the beach eating some fish, Peter receives the forgiveness of Jesus for betraying him in that moment. And as we know from Peter's life story, what he sort of exemplifies is the idea that change is never a straight line. You don't have a great experience and then come out a better person for it. You have to actually commit to that work, and change is going to involve making mistakes and apologizing and trying again and staying committed to that work. But if it's a transfiguration that is really born of God, that is born of the values of our faith, then in the end, that change is going to be worth it, even if it takes work to get there. Now, it's not that we can live on top of mountains, but we can go into the world as people who have been transfigured by an experience of the love of God and the love of others. We can go out into the world as people who really do feel called to do meaningful work every single day. It may not be like literally building someone a house or swinging a hammer or doing something that feels really concrete like a lot of those service project tasks are, But we can carry that change forward with us by bringing God's kingdom in meaningful, small ways in the world that we're living in. And just like that, instead of staying on the mountain, what we do is we make the air among us just a little bit thinner. We invite God's kingdom and God's presence with us when we allow that change to take root. And for me, that is the hope of the Transfiguration story. Not that we can stay put where we are in some magic, happy little bubble of camp feelings, but that instead, that those experiences can change us. And if we can change, that there is hope that the world around us could change as well. Amen.